Chapter 12. Religious, Spiritual, and Cultural Practices Related to Health. Marcena, Miqua, University of Murcia, Spain. It is valuable to have a general understanding of religious, cultural, and spiritual practices related to health. However, it is important to remember that this knowledge is not an absolute guide. Each patient is a unique individual who may nurture their traditions in different ways and have specific needs. The key to empathy and effective care lies in openness to dialogue and respect for personal beliefs, rather than treating general assumptions as unquestionable principles. Subchapter 1. Introduction. This chapter explores cultural sociology, understood as the study of knowledge, customs, and experiences expressed in the behavior of individuals who live and interact within a group or community. It provides a cultural insight into the religious, spiritual, and cultural practices of communities related to health. Cultural sociology is the study of knowledge, customs, and experiences expressed in the behavior of individuals who live and interact within a group or community. Future healthcare professionals must acquire cultural knowledge to competently care for individuals from diverse cultures, religions, and ethnic groups in their professional practice. Aims. Through this chapter, students will enhance their attitudes, knowledge, and skills in understanding the religious, spiritual, and cultural beliefs and practices of different religions and their impact on healthcare decisions. Recognizing the ethical and moral perspectives of these religious groups regarding medical procedures such as organ transplantation, euthanasia, contraception, and end-of-life care. Addressing potential challenges in healthcare delivery arising from religious beliefs and finding appropriate solutions to ensure equitable and inclusive medical treatment. Defining key concepts like sociology, culture, cultural sociology, religion, ethnicity, ethnic minority, stereotype, prejudice, generalizations, learning outcomes. By the end of this chapter, readers will be able to explain the religious, spiritual, and cultural beliefs and practices of different religious groups and analyze their influence on healthcare decisions. Identify and evaluate the ethical and moral perspectives of various religious traditions on medical procedures such as organ transplantation, euthanasia, contraception, and end-of-life care. Recognize and address challenges in healthcare delivery related to religious beliefs, proposing solutions that promote equitable and inclusive treatment. Define and apply key sociological concepts, including sociology, culture, cultural sociology, religion, ethnicity, ethnic minority, stereotype, prejudice, and generalizations in the context of healthcare. Relevant definitions and terms. Sociology, derived from the Latin socius, partner, and logia, study. It is the science that studies the structure and functioning of human societies. It analyzes the mechanisms that shape interpersonal interactions and social organization, as well as the influence of social norms and institutions on the behavior of individuals and groups. Culture, from the Latin cultura, cultivation. It is a body of knowledge that allows an individual to develop critical judgment. It also refers to ways of life, customs, knowledge, and the levels of artistic, scientific, and industrial development in a given era, social group, or religious practice. Cultural sociology. It is a branch of sociology that examines the knowledge, experiences, and customs that shape individual behavior within a given community over time. Groh points out that cultural sociology focuses on understanding how culture influences social structure and individual attitudes within larger social groups. Religion. From the Latin religare, to bind again, or religare, to read carefully again, suggesting the restoration of the human-divine bond through strict adherence to established traditions. The Royal Spanish Academy defines religion as a set of beliefs or dogmas concerning divinity, the feelings of worship and fear towards it, moral norms for individual and social behavior, and ritual practices, primarily prayers and offerings, as acts of worship. Ethnicity, from the ancient Greek ethnos, meaning people or tribe, referring to a human community defined by racial, linguistic, or cultural similarities. Ethnic minority, a subgroup within a population that differs from the majority in terms of race, language, or religion. Social determinants of health. The conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age that influence health outcomes and quality of life. There are five main social determinants of health: economic stability, access to education and its quality, access to healthcare and its quality, neighborhood and environmental conditions, and the social and community context. Stereotype. A widely held but oversimplified and often harmful belief about a specific group of people. Prejudice. A preconceived notion or judgment that is not based on sufficient knowledge. It can be either favorable or unfavorable. Negative prejudices can lead to stereotypes and discriminatory behaviors. Generalizations, statements about common cultural patterns. They often lead to misinterpretations as descriptions of all individuals within a particular group, which in turn leads to the formation of stereotypes. Spirituality. Statements that lead to a connection with something that gives life meaning and supports personal growth. Spirituality also contributes to the development of values and positive inner emotions. Within the proposed model, the authors identify three main dimensions of spirituality: beliefs, practices, and experiences that initiate a spiritual connection. Objects of connection, such as God, nature, community, art, the afterlife, spiritual beings, or the inner self. Outcomes of spirituality, including values, personal growth, meaning in life, well-being, and a sense of inner peace. This definition encompasses both theistic and secular approaches, recognizing the cultural and individual diversity of spiritual experiences in the context of healthcare. Subchapter 2: A Brief Guide to Cultural, Spiritual, and Religious Practices Related to Health. Future healthcare professionals will encounter individuals from diverse cultural and religious backgrounds in their work. Recently arrived patients in Europe, including immigrants, representatives of ethnic minorities such as the Roma, as well as religious groups such as Jehovah's Witnesses, along with patients from majority groups adhering to major religions such as Catholicism, Islam, and Hinduism, form a population to which healthcare workers and the healthcare system must provide high-quality care. The challenge lies not only in overcoming language barriers, but also in understanding their worldviews, attitudes, and values in order to prevent unequal treatment of any minority group. To address health inequalities, it is essential to equip future healthcare professionals with the necessary competencies and knowledge. In Europe, the major Christian religions, particularly Catholicism, Orthodoxy, and Protestantism, are the most widespread. In 2018, approximately 70% of the European population identified as Christian. Subchapter 2.1, Catholicism, is one of several Christian denominations. According to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, in 2022, there were 2.4 billion Christians worldwide, of which 1.36 billion were Catholics. Catholicism, in its full scope, is defined as a doctrine of faith revealed in the Bible and tradition, the institution of the church and its office, worship, liturgy with sacraments, Christian morality, religious practices and life, and the openness of the believer to divinity and all higher worldly values. Institutionally, Catholicism is organized under the leadership of the Pope, who is regarded as the head of the church and the successor of Saint Peter. The Ten Commandments serve as moral and religious principles governing human conduct. The Catholic Church believes that life and physical health are precious gifts entrusted by God and must be cared for, always considering the needs of others and the common good. Although physical life is part of the transcendent value of a person, it inherently reflects the temporality of human existence, which becomes evident through illness and suffering. Christians view illness and suffering as a path to salvation. While they must respect physical life, they should not consider it an absolute value, opposing the spread of the so-called cult of the body. Catholics are encouraged to avoid all forms of excess related to food, alcohol, or drugs. The Catholic Church supports organ donation and transplantation as acts of solidarity. However, it holds a negative stance towards artificial insemination, in vitro fertilization, post-mortem fertilization, and surrogacy. Church teachings affirm that all sexual activity achieves its true meaning and moral dignity only within marriage. The Catholic doctrine clearly prohibits any procedures related to abortion. Death signifies the end of human life on earth, but for Christians, represents the transition to eternal life. It is the beginning of a transformed existence. During the dying process, religious symbols such as a crucifix, images of saints, or medals worn on the wrist or hung on a chain around the neck may be seen beside the dying person. Hospital spaces should be adapted so that the family can accompany the patient in their final moments. Direct euthanasia is prohibited. However, the cessation of persistent therapy is permissible. Palliative care and sedative therapy are applied to ensure the best possible quality of life in the patient's final days. Cremation and autopsy procedures are permitted. The Catholic Church regards motherhood as a mission of exceptional responsibility and service to life. A pregnant woman must receive comprehensive support from her family and religious community. After childbirth, the mother dedicates herself to the care and feeding of the child. If the health or life of the child is at risk, any necessary medical interventions to protect the child are permitted. The right to protect the child's life reflects the Church's commitment to care. Every child deserves to be treated with love, tenderness, and understanding. Subchapter 2.2. Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Church's faith is rooted in tradition, which affirms the need to remain faithful to the spirit of the early Church. The most important source of faith is the Holy Scripture. The Orthodox Church bases its teachings on the Greek translation of the Bible, believing that this text was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Sacraments accompany individuals during the most important and significant moments of life, serving as participation in divine grace. These include baptism, chrismation, the Eucharist, confession, ordination, marriage, and holy function. One significant ritual in the Orthodox Church is the anointing with oil, previously blessed by a priest. This sacrament heals the soul, mind, and body, and can be administered to anyone in need, whether for physical or mental healing, or as preparation for death. Icons hold a special place in the life of every Orthodox believer. In Orthodox tradition, an icon is an object of veneration painted using Byzantine techniques, representing the presence of grace and the sacramental sign of God's invisible presence. The attitude of Orthodox believers towards health, illness, and death is similar to that of other Christian denominations. They view illness as an act of God that can help a person draw closer to Him and receive special grace to help others. Death is seen as a transition to eternal life. Orthodox Christians consider providing assistance and support to the sick as a natural part of life. The Orthodox Church does not oppose organ donation and transplantation. However, some Orthodox believers may be reluctant to donate organs due to their belief in the resurrection of the body. This may be interpreted as desecration of the body and could prevent or complicate organ donation. In comparison to Roman Catholicism, the Orthodox Church is more liberal regarding the use of contraceptives. It treats abortion as murder. The use of euthanasia is unacceptable. In the care of a dying patient, it is essential to provide support and the presence of another person so that the patient does not feel alone and abandoned. Pain relief is administered through analgesics. The deceased bid farewell with a kiss on the forehead. It is important to ensure contact with an Orthodox priest for the reception of sacraments, such as confession, the sacrament of anointing of the sick, or Holy Communion. After death, the body is washed and elegantly dressed. The funeral service is held on the third day after death. In the care of adults and children, there are generally no special needs specific to this religion. All life-saving and health-restoring treatments are permitted. A woman may receive communion during pregnancy and breastfeeding. After childbirth, a woman should fast according to the guidelines, as other members of the church do. As with any other case, religious customs should be followed according to the patient's needs. Subchapter 2.3. The Greek Catholic Church refers to several Eastern Catholic churches that maintain a close relationship with the Roman Church while adhering to the Byzantine or Greek rite. This church acknowledges the authority of the Pope and Catholic dogmas, yet preserves its independence in terms of canonical law, diocesan organization, liturgy, clergy's right to marry, and the Julian calendar. The differences between the Greek Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches relate to dogmas concerning the primacy of the Pope, the origin of the Holy Spirit, purgatory, and the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The church's stance on health, illness, and death is similar to that of other Christian denominations. Health and life should be supported at every stage. The faithful observe fasts that involve limiting the number of meals or abstaining from certain foods, such as meat or dairy products. Greek Catholics, like Orthodox and Catholics, support organ donation, organ transplants, and blood transfusions. These procedures must always be performed with respect for both the donors and recipients. The Greek Catholic Church condemns marriages that avoid procreation and use contraception. It condemns abortion as an act of murder. In the care of pregnant and postpartum women, newborns, sick children, adults, and patients in the final stage of life, there are no substantial differences compared to other Christian religions. Pregnant women and those who have given birth are exempt from fasting if medically required. In cases where the life and health of the child are at risk, all medical actions necessary to maintain the child's life and health, in line with current knowledge, are permitted. At the end of life, the sacrament of the sick is administered, which lasts much longer than the sacrament provided in Catholicism. After blessing the oil, the priest prays, reads excerpts from the gospel, and makes the sign of the cross, anointing the forehead, nose, ears, chest, hands, and feet of the sick person, repeating this action 7 times. The Bible is presented to the sick person for kissing. Subchapter 2.4, Protestantism, is one of the branches of Christianity alongside Catholicism and Orthodoxy. It consists of 3 religious groups: Lutheranism, Calvinism, and Anglicanism, originating from Martin Luther's Reformation in the 16th century. Luther emphasized the direct relationship between the believer and God, questioning the necessity of sacramental mediation and liturgy. The understanding of the Bible is the key difference between Protestantism and Catholicism. Protestantism emphasizes religious individualism and the role of subjective religious conscience. Protestant believers accept only 2 sacraments, baptism and Eucharist. They do not practice individual confession, reject the cult of Mary, saints, indulgences, and relics. The contemporary Protestant church is fragmented, as it believes it cannot identify with any institutionalized church. Among Protestant churches are Baptists, Methodists, the Pentecostal movement, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church. With the exception of the Seventh-day Adventists, the lifestyle of Protestants does not significantly differ from that of Catholics. Many free Protestant churches have strict fasting rules. Seventh-day Adventists do not smoke, drink alcohol, or use drugs, including strong coffee and tea. A vegetarian diet is recommended, although beef, lamb, venison, and poultry, such as chicken and turkey, are permitted. A key aspect of Protestant life is work, viewed as a vocation and a human duty. It rejects a consumerist approach to life and the secularized culture of leisure. Protestants accept organ donation, organ transplants, and blood transfusions. Most Protestant churches do not recommend artificial insemination, but they do not reject it either. The Pentecostal Church does not allow any form of genetic manipulation, while the Seventh-day Adventist Church permits artificial insemination only if the genetic material comes from a married couple. In Protestantism, abortion is considered a sin, but the church does not impose a single solution on its followers. The decision of the mother or the couple should be respected. Active euthanasia is not accepted, but the decision to limit therapeutic efforts is differentiated and separated from euthanasia. Care for a patient in the final moments of life should take into account the differences arising from belonging to a specific religious community. Differences, for example, arise when a newborn in critical condition can be baptized with the parent's consent. This practice is permitted in the Evangelical Lutheran and Methodist churches. The care of a pregnant woman, a postpartum woman, a newborn, or a sick child does not require any special actions beyond those commonly accepted and practiced in current healthcare. Subchapter 2.5, Judaism. The Jewish religion dates back to the 2nd millennium BCE. Judaism is not a revelation, doctrine, or teachings of an inspired master, but rather the result of a slow collective creation involving figures such as Abraham, Jacob, David, and the prophets of Israel. From ancient times to the present day, the Bible remains the foundation of life, thought, and worship in the Jewish religion. The Hebrew Bible is a vast literary work consisting of three parts, the most important of which is the Torah. In order to make it accessible to the faithful, an extensive commentary known as the Talmud was written. Despite significant dispersion worldwide, Jews have remained faithful to their religion. However, many do not strictly observe the commandments of their faith. Today, only about 10% of Jews practice traditional Judaism, known as Orthodox Judaism. This branch considers the Hebrew Bible to be inspired. Conservative Judaism, however, disagrees with this view, claiming that the Torah was invented by rabbis, attempting to adapt Judaism to the new era. Reform Judaism is the most liberal and rejects most traditional religious practices. Rabbinic writings treat the human being as an inseparable whole of body and soul. A person is morally obligated to care for their body. Food must be kosher, prepared according to rules derived from Jewish laws and regulations based on those written in the Torah. Orthodox Jews strictly observe these rules. In Jewish communities, there are associations where members care for the sick and dying. There is an obligation to care for those who suffer, and neglecting this is considered a lack of virtue. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, falling on Saturday, and its observance begins on Friday evening with the lighting of candles. All paid work is prohibited, and there are exactly 39 forbidden activities that cannot be performed during the Sabbath. Jews accept organ donation, organ transplants, blood transfusions, and artificial insemination within marriage. They allow the use of oral and intrauterine contraceptives. They oppose abortion, but each case is treated individually. Reform Judaism accepts cremation and autopsies. Orthodox Jews oppose them. Jewish law rejects any means to shorten human life and is against euthanasia. Jewish tradition requires special care for pregnant women. They are not obligated to fast, but it is their duty to cooperate with medical personnel and undergo all recommended medical examinations. After childbirth, women are ritually unclean for 7 days in the case of a male child and for 14 days in the case of a female child. Women in some branches of Judaism cover their heads in public places, including in hospitals. When admitted to the hospital, it should be ensured that the patient has disposable plates and cutlery as required by the need for food segregation. If necessary, family members should be allowed to bring food from home, and if this is not possible, a vegetarian diet should be provided. Boys are circumcised 8 days after birth. Care for Jewish children is the same as in other religions and among atheists. All vaccinations are performed according to the vaccination schedule. In Jewish tradition, children reach maturity and begin to be treated as adults when they turn 13 or 12. For Judaism, human life is of the highest value. Patients are responsible for their health and actively cooperate with medical staff to recover. Families often care for patients in the hospital, for example, attending to hygiene to protect the patient's privacy. Orthodox Jews follow the principle of not touching members of the opposite sex. However, in cases of serious illness, all restrictions are lifted. If the patient's condition significantly worsens, the family must be allowed to stay with the patient, even if the family is large. Family members encourage the seriously ill patient to reflect on their conscience. After the death of a patient, the body is ritually prepared in a specially equipped room, never in the hospital. The presence of the deceased's body is a source of impurity, and touching it requires the ritual washing of hands as a sign of spiritual purification. Subchapter 2.6, Islam, is the youngest monotheistic religion, founded in the 7th century. Its sacred scripture is the Quran, which contains revelations delivered to humanity by the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabic language. The Quran comprises doctrinal statements, principles concerning religious worship, moral norms, guidelines for appropriate behavior, dietary laws, civil and criminal law, international law, and religious narratives. The entire Muslim culture and civilization is based on it. In addition to the Quran, the source of knowledge is also the Sunnah, the tradition of Prophet Muhammad, which consists of hadiths, records of Muhammad's behaviors, sayings, decisions, and actions, offering a model for imitation. The fundamental principle of Islam is loyalty to religion and God. Prayer is a very important element. It is a form of veneration and praise of God. Every Muslim must pray 5 times a day, standing in a clean place, such as on a prayer mat, facing the direction of Mecca, the holy city of Islam. Almsgiving is another symbolic practice that expresses readiness for sacrifice in the name of religion. Fasting involves refraining from eating and drinking for 30 days, from dawn until dusk, during the month of Ramadan. Meals are only allowed before dawn and after dusk. Fasting is an obligation for every adult Muslim. Fasting may be broken if the person's work is physically demanding, or if there is a concern that fasting may harm the individual or others. Every Muslim is required to make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Muslims form the second largest religious community in the world. In Europe, Islam is the fastest growing religion, with the largest increase in followers, not only due to the influx of immigrants, but also due to a high birth rate and conversions. Islam emphasizes the importance of maintaining health. Preventive measures include fasting, prayer, ritual body washing, almsgiving, and marriage, as well as prohibitions such as drinking alcohol, smoking, using drugs, adultery, gambling, and consuming pork. The Muslim family is patriarchal. The Muslim religion imposes no restrictions on organ donation or transplantation. Blood transfusions and blood products are permitted and accepted. Islamic law accepts methods of artificial insemination when used within the context of marriage. In different Muslim countries, there are various opinions on the use of contraceptive methods. In some countries, they are allowed if they serve to protect the health of women. In the Quran and Sunnah, abortion is prohibited after the 120th day of pregnancy, although opinions on this issue vary. In some countries, abortion is entirely forbidden. Islam opposes cremation, as the body after death should be arranged in such a way that the face is turned towards Mecca. Autopsies are allowed only for medical and legal reasons. Euthanasia is condemned, but it is advised to refrain from artificial life and extending methods. During the postpartum period, a woman does not fast, engage in sexual activity, or pray, but focuses on recovering her strength. Breastfeeding for 2 years is recommended. Muslim women often are reluctant to undergo gynecological examinations if the physician is a man. In Islamic culture, there is no tradition of family childbirth. The birth of a child is a great joy for the family. As soon as the midwife cuts the umbilical cord, the newborn should hear the word Adhan whispered into their ear. Locally, there are various traditions, such as bathing the baby 4 times after birth or placing a chewed date in the baby's mouth. Circumcision, performed on boys from the 7th day until the age of 15, is a practice still observed today. All vaccinations, life-saving procedures, and blood transfusions are permitted. Muslims often use natural medicine, such as herbal medicine, apitherapy, homeopathy, and psychotherapy, to complement conventional medicine. In Islam, there are no sacraments like those in Catholicism, such as confession, penance, or anointing of the sick. Muslim tradition requires that the immediate family members sit with the dying patient, touch them, and pray together. The word God should be the last word spoken by a Muslim. The first action after death is ritual purification, performed by someone of the same gender. The deceased is wrapped in a shroud and placed in the grave without a coffin, although in European countries, Muslims bury their dead in coffins. Subchapter 2.7. Hinduism is currently one of the largest religious systems in the world in terms of the number of followers. It is practiced by over 1 billion people, primarily in India. Almost every region has its own customs, beliefs, God worship practices, traditions, and rituals. The worship of gods is vibrant, with statues decorated with flowers and fruits, and worshippers singing hymns and litanies. The position of an individual in the caste system depends on their origin, qualifications, and type of work. There are 4 basic social groups: Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. There are also people who do not belong to any caste, known as untouchables, who occupy the lowest position in Indian society. A pilgrimage to the Ganges River for a ritual bath is of great significance to many Hindus. Its purpose is to eliminate the negative effects of karma. The growing interest in Hinduism in Europe is linked to its beliefs and traditions, vegetarianism, yoga, and elements of Ayurvedic medicine. Concepts of health, illness, and death in Hinduism are based on religious, philosophical, and magical foundations. Since the destiny of all beings depends on previous incarnations, all manifestations of happiness and misfortune, good and evil, prosperity, illness, and suffering can be interpreted as direct consequences of actions in a past life. One can avoid illness through prayer, dedication, and various religious practices. Conversely, the negative consequences of bad actions committed in a previous life can be reduced or even eliminated by leading a virtuous life in accordance with practices developed to free oneself from the cycle of reincarnation, such as asceticism and yoga, which aim to neutralize the factors affecting the wandering soul. To achieve this goal, one must isolate oneself from society, fast, mortify the body, and meditate. In Hinduism, health is viewed as synonymous with life. The natural medicine system called Ayurveda has moved away from magical and religious approaches to health and seeks to rationally explain health problems. The ultimate goal of life in Hinduism is to ascend to higher levels in the hierarchy of being, which is why death is not considered a negative event. To prepare for death, one must undertake a pilgrimage to Varanasi, a place of ritual purification located on the left bank of the Ganges River. It attracts many sick and dying individuals and is also a site for ritual suicides. Organ transplantation is viewed positively because it extends the life of another person, thereby allowing them to fulfill their karma. Blood transfusions are also permissible. However, there are conflicting opinions, with some arguing that any attempt to artificially extend life traps the soul in the old body, disrupting the natural cycle of birth and death. Artificial insemination is accepted in Hinduism. The most important value in Hinduism is family. Having children and family planning are linked to the sexual and erotic spheres, which occupy an important place in Hindu culture. Attitudes towards sex, contraception, and family planning vary depending on the sect of Hinduism. Abortion is seen as a cause of bad karma and may lead to a fall to a lower level in the hierarchy of beings. The birth of a child is an important event. Often, Hindu women, regardless of their health and financial situation, wish to become pregnant because it frees them from heavy household duties and physical labor. Pregnant women are subject to many prohibitions, including avoiding fasting, losing weight, and traveling. Their husbands may accompany them during childbirth. They may give birth naturally or through a cesarean section. The mother must rest for 40 days after giving birth. Inability to bear children, miscarriage, or loss of a child may be viewed as punishment for the woman, leading to poorer treatment by her relatives. After the birth of a child, a ceremony is often held in many families to drive away evil spirits. The quality of healthcare in India depends on the patient's origin, educational level, profession, and most importantly, their economic situation. High-class hospitals are accessible only to those with the necessary financial resources, which is why some immigrants from India may find themselves in a hospital for the first time in Europe, as care for the poor is typically provided only at home or in nursing homes. In Indian culture, an autopsy is seen as a transformation of the soul's consciousness, which, after death, separates from the body to take on a new material form. Another factor influencing the cycle of birth, life, and death is cremation, one of the oldest Hindu customs associated with death. The body must be burned to achieve liberation. Cremation is primarily a form of purification. Euthanasia is seen as death by choice and an escape from life and its associated suffering. In India, passive euthanasia is allowed. Food and water are withheld at the patient's request. The approach to persistent life-sustaining treatment is clearly defined. When the brain loses its activity, the body's functioning should not be artificially maintained. The final stages of life involve continuous preparations for death. Temporal matters must be resolved. People from lower castes are cared for by their relatives at home, but it often happens that sick and exhausted individuals die on the streets without assistance. In higher castes, patients in the final stage of life receive care in hospitals. Caregivers maintain contact with the patient until death, but try not to touch the body, according to tradition, as the body is considered impure. There is a group of specialized individuals who professionally care for the deceased for a fee. After death, the body, wrapped in a thin cloth, is placed on a funeral pyre, covered with flowers, and set alight by the eldest son. If the deceased is a woman, the fire is lit by her husband or younger son. After the body is cremated, the ashes are thrown into the sacred Ganges River or a lake. Subchapter 2.8. Buddhism. Buddhism emerged as a religious system in the 6th century BCE in India. The founder of Buddhism, the Buddha the Enlightened, Siddhartha Gautama, renounced his luxurious and comfortable life to practice asceticism, which he later abandoned in favor of attaining enlightenment. Understood as freedom from the continuous cycle of birth, death, and suffering. 100 years after the death of the Buddha, the movement split into two main branches, the Hinayana and the Mahayana. The former focused on the study of the Buddha's texts, while the teachings of the Mahayana branch primarily centered on the understanding of emptiness and the nature of the Buddha. In their spiritual practice, they developed the capacity for loving kindness, understanding the nature of reality, and deepening knowledge of the Buddha's nature. The second branch gave rise to the Vajrayana practice, which spread to Tibet and parts of China. It is important to accumulate karma through actions motivated by love, compassion, and gratitude. Money, titles, and family, these all vanish when we die. Buddhist philosophy does not refer to the concept of a creator, but instead believes in the law of cause and effect, understood as the result of positive and negative actions. Spiritual development aimed at cultivating kindness, love, compassion, wisdom, and eliminating the three fundamental poisons of the mind, desire, anger, and ignorance, leads to enlightenment and breaks the cycle of rebirth and death. Birth, illness, old age, death, or contact with something that does not bring pleasure is considered suffering. Freedom from suffering can be attained by overcoming negative emotions, such as anger, jealousy, hatred, desire, and false self-esteem. In Buddhist medicine, there are four categories of disorders. The first category includes illnesses arising from karma, accumulated in past lives. The second includes diseases originating early in life. The third is caused by spirits, and the last results from poor diet or improper behavior. Tibetan medicine also addresses chronic diseases, including cancer. Buddhism is generally supportive of blood transfusions, organ donations, and transplantation. Giving an organ to someone will bring positive results in the next incarnation. Different Buddhist sects hold various positions on family planning and contraception. In practice, there is a recognition of the need for these methods. Currently, the methods accepted by Buddhists include oral contraceptives, condoms, diaphragms, sterilization, and natural methods. Buddhism accepts assisted reproduction, though it views it as an attempt to influence karma, i.e., the life path for the next incarnation. According to Buddhist tradition, human life begins at the moment of conception. In traditional Buddhist schools, abortion is considered illegal and is only permissible if the mother's life is in danger. There have been exceptions to this rule in history, such as in post-World War II Japan, where abortion was practiced to reduce birth rates. Buddhism accepts cremation and does not oppose autopsy, focusing on consciousness rather than the human body. Buddhism strongly opposes euthanasia as it leads to the accumulation of negative karma. Buddhism places great importance on having children. A pregnant woman must care for her physical and mental health. Positive thinking and religious practices are essential. Proper nutrition, rest, adequate sleep, walks, and avoiding heavy work are recommended for expectant mothers. Medical care, a calm environment, and surrounding oneself with honest people facilitate childbirth and reduce negative emotions associated with pain. Postpartum, women may participate in all religious practices. Typically, they breastfeed their children for at least a year. Traditionally, a horoscope is drawn for every newborn. All people who come into contact with the newborn on its first day of life should be kind to it. At the request of the parents, the Dalai Lama selects the child's name while still in the womb. The healing process for an adult involves following dietary recommendations, including the elimination of foods that disrupt the body's balance. The patient must take herbs prescribed by the doctor. Recovery in Buddhist understanding is possible if religious practices are combined with spiritual practices, such as meditation, and physical practices, such as lifestyle changes, for example, abandoning addictions. Death in Buddhism is considered the most important moment in life, and its course is divided into stages. According to Buddhist philosophy, the body consists of the elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space, which create and sustain the body until death. The external decomposition begins when sensory activity ceases and strength and energy are lost. Control over physiological functions and the ability to perceive physical sensations fade. Heat loss occurs, and the perception of external stimuli changes. In the phase of the disintegration of the air element, breathing disturbances appear, and the person loses contact with the material world. Depending on the life lived, visions of all negative events and fears arise. If the person lived a good and compassionate life, they will encounter loved ones and experience heavenly visions. The environment of the sick person should be calm. Family and friends should evoke feelings of love, compassion, and devotion. Direct presence of loved ones is not recommended, as despair may disrupt the calm of the dying person. The most important support is the presence of a spiritual guide. The position of the body at the time of death is also significant. Traditionally, it is recommended that the dying person be placed on their left side in the sleeping lion position. This position is intended to facilitate the recognition of luminosity, which appears after death and helps the consciousness leave the body. A great help for the dying person is the practice of Foa, which involves visualizing rays of light flowing toward the dying person and cleansing them. It is best to perform Foa before touching or moving the body. This practice should be continued for 3 weeks after death. Funeral customs in Buddhism vary and depend on the region or country. In Thailand, the body of the deceased is taken to a monastery, washed, and cremated on a day determined by the horoscope. In Tibet, the body is wrapped in white cloth, cut into pieces, and left to be consumed by birds without leaving any trace. The bodies of respected members of the community are often burned on a pyre. Subchapter 2.9, Jehovah's Witnesses, was founded in 1872 by Charles T. Russell in Pennsylvania, USA. For Jehovah's Witnesses, the Bible is a sacred text, considered the inspired word of God, holding the highest authority in their religious beliefs and practices. According to their convictions, the Bible contains God's will, laws, moral principles, and the plan for humanity's salvation. Jehovah's Witnesses do not isolate themselves from society but live and work within it. However, they refrain from engaging in politics or military service, as they believe these actions contradict biblical teachings. They do not participate in ecumenical events, reject traditional religious rituals, and only observe the annual commemoration of the death of Jesus Christ, which occurs around Easter. Baptism is performed by full immersion in water and is conducted for individuals who are mature enough to make this decision consciously and independently. Jehovah's Witnesses are extensively involved in evangelism. They do not establish strict guidelines regarding customs, do not celebrate holidays or birthdays, consume very little alcohol, and avoid foods containing animal blood. Jehovah's Witnesses are committed to maintaining their life and health as a gift from God. Therefore, they approach medical treatment with great awareness, discipline, willingly cooperating with medical staff, and diligently ensuring the effectiveness of their treatment. However, Jehovah's Witnesses reject all forms of blood transfusion. This position began to be advocated after 1945. Since then, both adults and minors who are Jehovah's Witnesses are prohibited from consenting to blood transfusions. This extreme stance has led to numerous studies aimed at providing alternative blood replacement therapies and developing protocols for treating critically ill patients without blood transfusions. In the case of newborns, infants, or children, the decision regarding a transfusion is made by the parents, with the father having the final say if there is a disagreement between the parents. It is important to note that from the perspective of both law and medical ethics, the life of the child is paramount and takes precedence over the protection of religious beliefs and the personal freedom of the parents. If a doctor perceives no alternative therapeutic option, they may seek a judge's intervention, who may, under certain circumstances, revoke parental rights for the duration of the treatment. All actions must be transparent and cannot be concealed from the parents. Jehovah's Witnesses have a positive stance toward organ donation and transplantation. The Bible does not explicitly forbid receiving organs and tissues from other individuals, aside from blood. Each member of the congregation makes a personal decision about organ transplantation in accordance with their conscience. Euthanasia is explicitly condemned, as it is incompatible with biblical teachings. For Jehovah's Witnesses, life begins at conception, and therefore abortion is not accepted. Neither the threat to the mother's health, nor the discovery of fetal genetic defects, nor cases of rape or incest, justify abortion. The Bible does not condemn birth control within marriage. The couple may choose contraceptive methods as a personal decision. It is essential to avoid substances that may harm the developing fetus. For Jehovah's Witnesses, funerals are an occasion to express religious beliefs. Their belief in resurrection prevents them from expressing sorrow or grief over the deceased. Jehovah's Witnesses do not attach religious significance to funerals. Autopsies are only permissible when required by law. Subchapter 2.10. Roma are the most diverse and currently the largest ethnic group in Europe, with ancestors who likely originated in India and began migrating to Europe as early as the 6th century. They do not have their own state or defined territory. Due to migration and contact with other cultures, people, languages, customs, and religions, they have become highly diverse. Since ancient times, the Roma have been involved in ironworking, metal production, juggling, dancing, and fortune-telling. Everything related to the Roma and their culture has been passed down orally. Today, the Roma are divided into various subgroups, spread across all continents. These include the Kalos, Sinti, Caldarash, Doms, and Romanichels. Most Roma are Christians, some are Muslims, and others maintain their faith in Hinduism. One of the most distinctive features of their social behavior is their solidarity within the group and tolerance. All aspects of Roma life are governed by an unwritten code of moral laws and prohibitions, which evolved from tradition and centuries of experience. Failing to adhere to these rules may result in consequences such as banishment or expulsion from the group. The Roma divide the world into our and other non-Roma. They draw from elements of the other world to meet their needs, using hospital services in cases of childbirth, illness, or death. In many cases, they resist prolonged hospitalization and regard surgical procedures as highly dangerous. In some Roma groups, there is a belief that the larger a person is, the happier and healthier they are, which often results in obesity, while a slim physique is seen as a sign of illness or poverty. Healthcare is often not viewed as one of their highest priorities in Roma communities. In many cases, organ donation and transplantation are considered procedures they do not trust and reject. Most prefer not to discuss death or organ donation after death. They accept blood transfusions to save their lives. In vitro fertilization is not permitted. Infertility is a taboo subject, as is contraception, and Roma often do not wish to discuss these topics. Abortion is considered a sin. It is understood as the deliberate killing of a Roma child and is strictly prohibited. The foundation of Roma existence is the family, which is typically large, multi-child, and very extended. Life revolves around this social unit. The birth of the first child is particularly awaited. Its absence is seen as a punishment for sins. Childlessness among the Roma leads to so-called internal adoption, in which another married couple gives their newborn to a childless family. Pregnancy outside of marriage is seen as a crime, resulting in the loss of honor and respect, and may lead to disputes between families. The subject of childbirth is taboo, and it is not discussed. Currently, most births occur in hospitals. Hospitalization helps isolate the birthing woman from the Roma community. Roma women prefer female staff care. The father is never present at the birth. He often waits outside the hospital until the birth is over, appearing briefly only to see his child. After returning home, the mother is isolated in her home. The mother or mother-in-law handles domestic duties. This isolation lasts up to 6 months. The newborn also has limited contact with the father and grandfather, who often do not touch the grandchild for the first 3 months of the child's life. The Roma reject cremation. They may accept an autopsy if it is a judicial procedure. They do not accept euthanasia. The solidarity of the Roma community is most evident during the illness and death of a family member. A large group of close relatives gathers to vigilantly care for the sick and dying. Today, Roma predominantly die in hospitals. Crying and wailing are part of the behavior associated with death among the Roma. The Roma treat the deceased with great respect, and their memory is honored. According to tradition, they should die away from their place of residence. In the past, the bed was carried out of the home. The closest family should be present at the hospital with the sick, keeping vigil, and apologizing for even the most trivial matters to ensure they are not visited after death. Care and attention to the patient require meeting the cultural needs and beliefs of individuals and families. Religion often provides spiritual guidance and emphasizes healthcare. A person's culture and religion can significantly influence their views on healthcare and healthcare professionals. Medical and health science students, as future professionals, must understand the origins and beliefs of these patients to ensure culturally sensitive healthcare in the future. Final reflection: Religious and Cultural Practices and the Empower Model by Malgorzata Shkup. This chapter offers a broad overview of religious, spiritual, and cultural practices related to health, highlighting their influence on patient decisions and the care process. This diversity of perspectives aligns closely with the values of the Empower Model, particularly in the areas of multiculturalism, professionalism, effectiveness, and education resources. The author emphasizes that competent care requires openness, respectful dialogue, and avoidance of stereotypes, which reflects the core empower principle of cultural humility. The chapter shows how religious beliefs can shape attitudes toward organ donation, transfusions, abortion, or end-of-life care, demonstrating that delivering effective healthcare demands flexibility and respect for patient values. The rich examples of practices from various religions and ethnic groups serve as a valuable educational resource, aligning with Empower's emphasis on experience-based cultural learning. The chapter also underscores the need to develop strong communication and ethical skills when working with patients from different belief systems, central to Empower's vision of reflective professionalism. In summary, this chapter demonstrates that understanding cultural and religious diversity is not about memorizing facts, but about adopting an attitude of respect and ongoing learning, a foundation for effective, empathetic, and equitable care, fully consistent with the spirit of the Empower Model.